You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Sacred Space, hosted by Beatrice Corbo.
Come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, burn away my fears, and wipe away my tears, and trust in you all here.
That's okay.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't bother you. Okay?
No.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Sacred Space Radio Maria. I'm Beatrice, and today I'm excited to share with you information on a special place of prayer located in Toronto. Not many people know about this beautiful place of worship, as it is tucked behind a parking lot off Weston Road. It is open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and it is known as the Shrine of Our Lady of Gratitude. Angie Carboni, who runs St. Bernadette's Family Resource Center, is familiar with the shrine and its history. Today, Angie will join us and share with us how this Marian Shrine of Gratitude came to be. But first, let us begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Blessed Virgin Mary, who can worthily repay you with praise and thanks for having rescued a fallen world by your generous consent? Receive our gratitude, and by your prayers, obtain the pardon of our sins. Take our prayers into the sanctuary of heaven, and enable them to make our peace with God. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, hello and welcome, Angie. Thank you for taking the time to chat with us. You're on the phone with us, so this is my first time actually doing a phone interview, and I just want to say thank you for sharing and talking to us about this beautiful shrine that we have in the middle of Toronto.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yes. So I understand that the Shrine of Gratitude has been around for 18 years, and you were right there, right at the beginning when it was first started to be. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the history of this beautiful place?
The shrine began as an act of gratitude because in 2004, a wonderful priest by the name of Father Basil Symbolista had an accident while he was cleaning up the grounds of the monastery owned by the Basilian Fathers in the Byzantine Rite. And this is located at 3100 Weston Road, which is right behind the monastery and St. Basil's old school. And at the time, he had filled a pool and planted a garden of tomatoes, and in October was cleaning the shrubs, and a piece of wood went in his eye, and it pierced his retina. He immediately cried out to Mother Mary and said, "Pray for me, ask Jesus to save my eye." And they took him to the hospital because it was rather a serious accident. After he had been examined, he was told that he would no longer see out of this eye because it perforated the retina. And Father also had three pairs of glasses. And he kept praying and went home, and they bandaged his eye And by the end of the evening, by 11 o'clock that evening, October 4th, 2004, he began to see clearly out of the eye where he needed glasses. And the eye with the perforated retina started to see clearly as well.
Wow.
To the point where he didn't need glasses any longer. And when his eye healed, he had 20/20 vision in both eyes.
Amazing. And
his license had to be changed because he originally had the glasses on his license and didn't need any at all.
That is remarkable. Now that is a miracle. And this happened all before the actual shrine was there, right? It was just a basic...
This was the reason the shrine became what it is today. In his gratefulness, he built an altar with a lot of the material that he had, because next door was a bazillion school and somebody was collecting rocks. So Father was very creative. He developed this beautiful high altar with the rocks that this school had left under the shrine. And then he put a beautiful picture of the Last Supper, because it was the year of the Eucharist. And he found all these things around. And it was his way of saying thank you to God for the restoration of both eyes.
Wow.
And because Mother Mary was his first person that he cried out to, he wanted something for Mary on the top of the altar. So he went to Smith Monument, and there was this beautiful statue of Mary, and he bought her. This statue is made out of marble. And so basically, this was just for him to say thank you to God, which Mass is a way of thanksgiving.
Right.
That's what the Eucharist is for. Mm-hmm. It's an act of thanksgiving and a way of the Lord becoming one with us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he celebrated Mass in the back, and then a few people started gathering, and they had a little tent, and people started praying the rosary at the back. And he encouraged it. And so he would pray with maybe 5 to 10 people a couple of times a week. And things started happening. People would come with their concerns. And while they were praying back there, things would happen to answer their prayer. There was a woman who, her daughter had disowned her. And they were praying that the daughter and her would reconcile. And while she was finishing the rosary, the daughter called her mother. And there was another woman who came, and she couldn't walk very well. And she was praying with them, and her hip was healed.
Mm-hmm.
So this started happening right away. I was blessed to rent within the school, because it became a community center. I operate a day program called St. Jude's Academy of the Arts. And I had, since 2000, rented 3 classrooms in the second floor. And we had a retreat center for elementary and high school kids. And they would come full day and meet the special needs adults that I serve. And we would talk about the rosary, Holy Communion, confession, basically a teaching of the catechism.
Right.
And activities would be done where the kids would integrate with the special people that I serve that have intellectual and physical challenges.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And one day, one of the teachers was in tears, because she saw how the youth gravitated and changed by meeting the special individuals I serve. And she wanted to take a movie about our retreat. So I was taken to the back, and this is just after Father had built the altar. And I saw the statue of Mary, and I wanted to take the kids every day because I gave rosaries to all the kids. And having taught them how to pray the rosary, I saw the statue, and I met Father Basil because I asked permission to bring the youth and the children to the back of the monastery. Mm-hmm. And Father said, "You can have anything you want."
Wow.
And we became instant friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I would see him daily. And the youth were so touched by the garden that he made. He planted roses for Our Lady. It was really an act of love from Father's heart and to the Lord and to Our Lady, for his eyes, for his priesthood. He was a servant of God in such a beautiful way. He loved everyone. He just completely loved his priesthood.
I have to confirm that because I met him on several occasions and he exuded nothing but love and always had a smile and a kind word, a very gentle soul. That's for sure.
The most beautiful soul you'll ever want to meet.
Mm-hmm.
We became so close. I used to say to him, "Father, I have two fathers." Well, actually, I have three. I have God, my father who died, and you.
Mm-hmm.
And he would smile. And at one point, he was told, this was in 2005, that he was going to be sent away. And I cried 24 hours. I could not stop sobbing. So the two of us, he went to Rome, and I went to World Youth Day Germany, and then I went to Lourdes, and we prayed and prayed that Father would not leave. Somehow the Lord showed me that I needed to be with this beautiful priest.
Mm-hmm.
And when we came back, the miracle happened. He didn't leave. And when I was in Lourdes, I was really touched by the Blessed Mother. And it was very clear that she wanted processions in Toronto. And so in my heart, I felt her say, "I want this procession from Lourdes to continue at the shrine." So I came back all excited and I said, "Father, Mother Mary wants procession." And he looked at me and he goes, "Finally." He goes, "I've been waiting for that." And I said, "Father, are we going to do it?" And he said, "Absolutely." And I said, "You know, in Lourdes, I asked Mother Mary for the cup, because in Lourdes, they did processions, but they had the beautiful cups with the candles that were raised to Our Lady. And a friend of mine, Johnny, he says, "I know where to get the cup." And we got it from Our Lady of the Cape. And little did I know, in 2 weeks, we advertised this rosary procession, and 400 people came.
Unbelievable. 400 people.
It was. And I even said to Father, "In 2 weeks, you're not going to get anybody, Father." And he goes, "Yes, we will." And they came. The cups came. And miracles came. Healings came.
Wow.
And it continued from the beginning of October, and it's continuing to this day. It's touched so many. The answer was given to Our Lady. Her request was met, and she meets us there, and she heals. She's the intercessor that asked her son to heal the hearts and souls and bodies of many.
Mm-hmm.
And I know of over 100 healings of terminal cancer, blindness, paralysis, leukemia, fourth stage leukemia, fourth stage endocrine cancer. My mother was healed my people who worked for me, mm-hmm. who wasn't even Catholic, had terminal fourth stage leukemia, was healed. Mm-hmm. He's 45. He should have been dead 10 years ago. A young lady, endocrine cancer, was given not long, and it had spread to the eyes, the lungs, the spine.
Oh, my goodness. Now, have all these healings been recorded, Angie?
Yes, they're on my website.
Yeah, and has the Vatican been notified of this place and the
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Well,
what is happening with that? Like, any response? Like, you know, because it's what I'm asking, because it's not, it's still a lot of people don't know about this place.
Yes.
I personally have told so many, you know, a few people, but and they all sound, oh no, we didn't know that this place existed. So it's like Medjugorje or Fatima, when the healing started, thousands of people flocked to it, and it kind of feels like people knew about it quickly, whereas yeah. over here it's still rather like a secret, you know? It's not secret intentionally, but it's not as well known. Yeah.
They're not as well known yet. Fatima took time, so did Lourdes. There's always, whenever there are roses, there are thorns.
Right.
And unfortunately, the shrine has not always been accepted. Father Basil had to leave the country. He passed away. Mm. I'm no longer physically in the school because not everyone understands the mission that Our Lady is bringing to this holy ground.
Right.
Mm. However, it caused us to go to the Vatican twice. So they are fully aware of what's going on and how much it means to so many. The shrine has a revolving door. Basically, people coming in and out 24 hours, and it is never closed down, even during COVID time.
Mm-hmm.
We're still praying for the support of the Brazilian Fathers and Rome. Rome did support it because they allowed us to pray there. We have a letter from the general that we are allowed to pray there. We can't say mass because there's no priests at the monastery. And we are praying that priests will come back because the monastery has been empty since 2016. So we can't say mass there yet.
Oh, I see.
When Father was alive, both he and I had a dream that this place would become a Lourdes and it would one day have an enormous church.
Mm-hmm,
but we're in the middle of the battle.
right. There's always a battle, isn't there?
Yeah.
But once we know that with Mother Mary and her Immaculate Heart will survive and will reign, and the battle will be won. It's already has been won through the death, the crucifixion of our Lord. But there's a lot of little battles along the way that Mother Mary will crush. I'm sure of that.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So the place is quite beautiful. It's very beautiful. I don't know how to describe. It's a supernatural beauty that exists, first of all, in the atmosphere. But even the surroundings, the things to look at, the colors, the beauty of the flowers and the statues and the plaques, it's just so beautifully done. How did that all come about? Is that all through volunteer work, or how did that happen?
Well, Father initiated all of it. He was the gardener.
Mm-hmm.
He planted every flower, every rose. And once he had to leave, a gentleman who worked with him has continued to maintain the grounds. And I felt called by the Blessed Mother to continue to do the prayers that we were called to do. I actually dreamt of Father and Mother Mary after I had been asked to leave. And she was dressed as a queen And the message I received was Bernadette never stopped, and nor did the children of Fatima.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the midst of adversity, you must continue. So I have a commitment to the Blessed Mother to do the procession that I was called to do in 2005. Until the Lord wants me to, I've made a complete promise to them. And, you know, they've helped me live that promise.
Mm-hmm.
I've been able to have the grace to continue. Even when Father died, we were there. My mother recently died. I was able to go. I had the peace to continue. As well, any surgeries I had the well-being to go, even if I wasn't well. So the grace is with us to continue.
Mm-hmm.
And the people need it. And a beautiful priest that visited once said to me, when Our Lady appears in places like this, which, by the way, she has appeared.
Right.
She appeared to me and a teacher in 2013. She came out of the sun,
mm-hmm.
and she stood and looked down on us in a white gown. And a year later, without them knowing, a Ukrainian woman by the name of Mira had the inspiration to put the stained glass of Our Lady with the sun behind her.
Right.
And she didn't know what had happened, that Our Lady came out of the sun. That stained glass was supposed to be mounted on December 10th. The gentleman couldn't come, but he came to mount it on the day, December 13th, that Our Lady came out of the sun. And when I saw it, I was stunned, because Mira did not know what we had experienced.
Right.
And she put the sun behind Our Lady,
mm-hmm.
which is what we saw. And mm-hmm. Father would see Mother Mary often. Children reported to see Mother Mary. There were times where I would bring 60, 70 youth to do the rosary at the shrine, and the snow would be falling. And the kids, I would tell them, the sun's going to come out. Sure enough, the Blessed Mother would have the sun come out. In the rain, the sun came out.
Mm-hmm.
It is 18 years that I have been hosting processions. It has never rained once.
Wow.
And that doesn't mean it doesn't have rain around the shrine.
Right.
Or it's not a rainy day. She arranges the rain to stop somehow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the Lord has chosen this place for Canada, for Toronto. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, Our Lady of the Cape came as a pilgrim statue twice.
To the shrine?
To the shrine.
Mm-hmm.
And from the beginning, and she came last year. And then I was called to be the World Apostolate of Fatima's president. And every year, October, I do the whole of Canada praying the rosary called Rosary Coast to Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And the statue of Our Lady of Cape is presented there. And we do a live stream. And many, many provinces take part.
Right.
And it's, Canada needs prayer. And Canada needs Mother Mary. And the priest that attended said, whenever the world is in trouble, which it is now,
mm-hmm.
the Blessed Mother comes and presents herself in places such as these to call the people to go back to the way, the truth, and the life that her Son is calling us to live, to come and do whatever her Son tells us to do. So it's a cry out from God through the heart of Mary to Toronto, to mm-hmm. Canada, for all her children to come back to reality, to the truth.
That's so beautifully said, and that's so true. We have definitely lost our way. The crime has increased. People don't know who they are anymore.
Yeah.
There's so much confusion among children, among the youth. There's no sense of right or wrong anymore. And we definitely, society as a whole, when you look at it, looks like a bleak picture, but yet there's a ray of sunshine. that Mother Mary brings with her, calling us. Yeah, yeah. So now this prayer service that you lead, Angie, it's every first Saturday of the month. Is it all year long, or is it just in the is it all year long, or is it just
it's from May to October.
May to October.
Actually, this is where Our Lady brought me and Father to Fatima, and this is what we were answering from the beginning, was the call of the five first Saturdays, which was given to Sister Lucia.
Right.
And when I went to Fatima, I had no intention. I didn't even have intention to go to Fatima. It was Father Basil's desire before he passed. And we ended up in the office of the World Apostolate of Fatima. And we told them about how beautiful the shrine was. And we showed them our itinerary. And they said, "You're answering the call that was given to Sister Lucia." Mm-hmm. And he goes, "You're doing what Fatima's asked to do." And Sister Lucia was given a clear message to do the five for Saturdays and promote them, that it would end war.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of my missions. And I've been given it in my heart since 2005. And now I have all of Canada to give it to.
Mm-hmm.
Because we need peace in this world. We need order in this world.
Yeah.
And we can achieve this by going to Mass, going to confession every first Saturday, and doing the rosary with a meditation that is more than 2 minutes, at least 10 minutes to 15. Mm-hmm. And this is what we do at the shrine. Mm-hmm. So every first Saturday at 8 o'clock and all Marian feast days, starting the beginning of May to October.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, the next one is August 15th, the Assumption of Our Lady.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then the Queenship of Our Lady.
Right. And the Queenship on the 22nd. Right.
Yeah.
Wow. It's, it is a beautiful place. And like I said, I brought a few people just in the past month or so who didn't know, and they live not too far from the shrine. So my hope is that people listening to this podcast will feel called to go and to visit this place and to find the peace and the love and the sense of hope and the presence of Mother Mary with her son, you know, that they desire. I have people in my own life that are not church-going people. One person I'm thinking of in particular, and when I told him about it, he was battling cancer. He went there and he told me it was like a piece of heaven on earth.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just quite
a little bit of heaven in the city.
In the city. It's an oasis.
It's a little bit of heaven in the city.
Yeah. It's definitely an oasis.
It is.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Angie, for telling us about this beautiful place. I encourage everybody to, you know, to go look at it, if not just to see the beauty of the flowers, of the garden, of the colors. And of course, Mother Mary is right there in the center of it, calling
Absolutely.
Each one of us.
If they would like more information, they can visit my website, St. Bernadette's Family Resource Center. And you will look under the Marian Shrine of Gratitude, and you'll see videos of Father, witnesses from people who were healed. And actually, one of them saw Mother Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see even the testimonials that I was able to collect years ago of people who had beautiful healing experiences there.
Right. Yeah. And we have to keep on praying, right, Angie, that this place
Absolutely.
Does not shut down, that it, you know, that we keep encouraging people and keep telling people to listen to Mother Mary's call so that it can continue to offer peace and tranquility that we definitely need.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Angie. And you did leave your the website address, and there's brochures as well there at the shrine. We have to let people know as well. I want them to know there is an enclosure. So if it is bad weather, if it is raining when you happen to go in the middle of the day, it's not like it's just totally outside. There is some shelter with candles. It's just quite beautiful. I encourage everybody to take a visit to, what's the address again? I know it's on Weston Road, Weston and Shepherd.
3100 Weston Road. And if you go on our website, you'll see the scheduled events that go on at the shrine as well.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you for all the beautiful work that you're doing, Angie. God bless you, and Mother Mary, keep on smiling and giving you strength to do all that you need to do. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you. And that's it for today, dear listeners. Until next time, God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye.
I've been listening to Sacred Space, hosted by Beatrice Corbo, here on Radio Maria Canada. If you have any comments or questions, please send them to sacredspace@radiomaria.ca. To learn more about this program, please visit radiomaria.ca/sacredspace.